Welcome to the feature series, How Roger Penske Changed the Indy 500 on the Marshall Pruitt Podcast, which celebrates the most successful entrant at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway on the 50th anniversary of his first event in 1969. Presented by Cooper Tires, the Justice Brothers, and Bell Racing Helmets, a longstanding partner of Team Penske, this 15-part series spans some of the greatest drivers, managers, mechanics, engineers, and the man himself, Roger Penske, to document the captain's vast influence on America's defining motor race, the Indy 500, and in many instances, the sport as a whole. We'll also be joined by a reporter who covered Penske's Indy debut a half century ago, and some of his fiercest rivals, many of whom admit to being fans of the 82-year-old icon. Our guest on this episode of How Roger Penske Changed the Indy 500 is the greatest of all time, Mario Andretti, whose lone Indy 500 win came the same year as Penske's introduction to Indy, and who drove for the captain at the Speedway from 1976 to 1980. Mario, 1969 is a very important year at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for you. So we're celebrating you and the 50th anniversary of your win. That same year, there was this young punk entrant that came in, some guy named Roger Penske. Don't know whatever happened to him. But all kidding aside, we're celebrating his impact of 50 years at the Speedway. Maybe we should start just talking about that 1969 event and if and what you remember of this new team that was a competitor to you.
Well, you know, first of all, you got to look back and you see the issues that I had to deal with, you know, on my side. And quite honestly, you know, it was, I had, you know, known Roger at the time. And the one thing that I always knew that if he would show up, with all the bells and whistles, I mean, Roger had always done everything just absolutely first class. And it's so easy to talk about him because, I mean, it's all superlatives. And again, you know, you just, you're always concerned, you know, because he had all the ducks in order in the sense that, you know, with Mark driving and all of that. So he was armed for bear, no question. The only thing that we were hoping is that we would be a little bit green. Setups and all that, but nevertheless, you know, he was a force to be reckoned with right from the very beginning, no question about it. And again, you could just go on and on and on, and he elevates, you know, the class of anywhere that he, you know, that he, anything that he touches, you know, it just, it's got a dimension that grows after that, because he'll set the standard. And he's done that from day one, quite honestly. You look at the preparation of the cars, the team, you know, everything that the professionalism that is shown, you know, from the beginning. And it's many ways intimidating, guarantee you, to all the competitors, because you know that he doesn't leave any stones unturned either, you know. So again, yeah, he met his mark, you know, right at the outset.
You mentioned knowing him as a driver first, someone whose driving career was really excellent as well. The most underreported aspect of Roger Penske's contributions to the sport. How did that shape your relationship with him, with your interactions with him? Again, it's one thing as a driver like you in your prime, just saying hello and knowing fellow team owners, but it feels like you looked at Roger as one of your own.
Well, no question, because you know, I was always interested in, you know, in sports cars. I mean, very keen interest, you know, and of course that's when he pretty much came to light, if you will, in our world. And again, you know, he was right there, you know, with top level cars and at the forefront, you know, of everything. So a good looking dude on top of everything else, you know. And so, yeah, he, you know, before I even got to meet him, I knew of his exploits. And the fact that the biggest surprise to me was that he came out of the cockpit, you know, so early, you know, and then he just pursued, you know, he just wanted to be, you know, just have his own team and go in that direction. you know, on the business side. But, you know, I know that all along while he was, you know, in our sport, he was building his own empire as well, you know. So, and, you know, we all know what he's done with that. You know, but the thing that always, you know, amazes me about this man is all in. I mean, total racer. I mean, here's a man that's a billionaire, and he could just go out there on an island and just soak the sunshine and just enjoy life in that respect and do everything. He's not. I mean, he's at every racetrack. He's in Australia. He's with every, you know, whenever there's a weekend off, he's in NASCAR. And then IndyCars, and so I love Kathy. You know, she just she's like, you know, Deanne used to be, has to be someone really totally understanding, and knowing that you know, if she would ever make him feel guilty, you know, he'd be so miserable. So so you know, these gals have you know, they're angels, you know, for us. They in so many ways have sacrificed so much of their own life, you know, just to be able to please us, because we're so damn ambitious, you know, and selfish. And, you know, one thing about Deanne, I just will always love her to eternity, that not once she ever made me feel guilty, you know, for doing things. And I think, I look at Kathy, I think I see the same thing.
Wow.
You know, so, but, you know, Roger is Roger, you know, he'll, the marks that he has established already in our business will never be equal, in my opinion. Certainly a highest standard you could possibly have, you know, to be able to follow.
Since 1954, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway has served as the proving grounds for the world's most legendary helmet brand. From Jimmy Bryan to Mario Andretti and Elio Castroneves, Bell Helmets has and continues to protect some of the all-time greats. Follow the journey on social media at Bell Racing HQ or by visiting bellracing.com.
There's a great story about how, on the topic of driving talent, what could have been, a certain guy by the name of Penske who had an opportunity to take his rookie test here at the Speedway, and someone who actually got a chance to do that. Can you just share that story for those who haven't heard it? Because, again, I think it's another beautiful intersection of the two of you.
Yes, indeed. Actually, as I said, it's a blessing that the driving was really his primary objective. And somehow he was the one that was, after Chuck Halls got hurt, he was the one that was first asked to be fitted up in a car and then do a test. And somehow I don't know what happened, but he couldn't do it, so I was the second choice, and it turned out to be obviously a huge, huge moment in my career, because I always have to say, what if this wouldn't have happened? What if, you know, it's always moments like that. There are key moments.
Wow.
That what if it didn't happen? You know, to be able to slide in one of the top three teams, you know, in a championship trail, and then all of a sudden latch on to the, you know, to be a test driver for Firestone at the same time. I mean, this was golden. So I put Roger on my Christmas list right after that.
Let's speak, Mario, about a chance that you would then go on to compete against the team. Obviously, Roger branched out into Formula One. He's in so many series, but there was a point in time where you got a chance to drive and become part of the Penske organization here, did a number of 500s from the middle to the latter stages of the 70s, having driven for Colin Chapman. We can name so many fellow legends. What did you see within this Team Penske organization that was either unique or slightly different than some of the cultures or ways of being than the other teams you'd been with?
Well, here, yes, indeed. I mean, you go back to, you know, to 1976 when, of course, when Parnelli just dropped out of Formula One, you know, they told me, they said, well, you know, we'll just never even discuss it with me, actually. And the news came to me through Chris Economaki while I was on a grid at Long Beach. And he said they pulled the rug from a Formula One, and all of a sudden, all right, well, the story is, of course, they said, well, we're coming back and you can do Indy cars. I said, no. I said, I'll do Indy cars, but not with you. I said, I will do Formula One. And, you know, luckily I landed with Colin Chapman. But then I called Roger, said, hey, Roger, how would you like to have a part-time driver, you know, during my Formula One days here? And he says, absolutely, immediately. He had a car for me. And that to me, you know, here I had the best of both worlds, you know, Lotus and Roger Penske. And this is one thing that trust me, I'm not just throwing bouquets, but I look back in my career and say that I drove for Mr. Ferrari, I drove for, you know, Colin Chapman, and I drove for Roger Penske, you know, Carl Haas. I mean, was I blessed or what? You know, but I put a lot of stock in just saying, even though it was never full-time, you know, with Roger, it didn't work out, obviously. You know, by the time I came out of Formula One, his seats were filled already with just as good as it could be, you know, with Mears in there, you know. So, but nevertheless, I can say that I drove for Roger, and that's a big, big star.
Let's close, Mario, talking about legacy. So, as you know, myself, Robin Miller, and others, we call you all the time because you are our bridge to the past, the present, in between. Roger is the same way for us as well, from the team owner side, the business side. Knowing the two of you do have this really great link of celebrating a 50th anniversary the same year here at the 500, just what comes to mind of this enduring friendship you've had? What are some of the long-standing impacts he's maybe just had on you as a person?
Well, you know, obviously there's, I think there's mutual respect, certainly on my side with Roger, and it's always whenever we see each other, it's always a nice, you know, even though it's a brief, you know, everybody's busy, but it's always a nice meeting. Always look forward to that, and that will remain forever. You know, I treasure that. I treasure that aspect. So, again, you know, these are, when I look back, and when you look back at something with fondness, and then the person that actually created that is still around with you, and it's always, it's a beautiful part of just being here.
And that was how Roger Penske changed the Indy 500. You can catch this series and more than 500 episodes at the brand new MarshallPruittPodcast.com site. All brought to you by Cooper Tires, the Justice Brothers, and Bell Racing Helmets.